Hello everyone, my name is Elijah David, Minister of the 12th Hour Apostolic Sabbatarian Congregation, Mount Alpha, 12th Hour, Liberty Hill, Texas. Today is June 7, 2014, our receiving 10-2018. We will start our second service on this Sabbath day with a song entitled, Abide With Me. Abide with me, as falls the eventide, let darkness deepen, thou with me abide. When other helpers fail and comforts sleep, help of the helpless, oh, abide with me. Swift is closer, out last little day. Earth's joys grow dim, its glories pass away. Change and decay, and all around I see. Oh, thou who changest not, abide with me. I need thy presence every passing hour. Who like thyself, my God, a stay can be? Who cloud and sunshine, oh, abide with me. Hold thou thy cross before my closing heart. Shine through the gloom and point me to the sky. Heaven's morning breaks and the faint shadows flee. In life and death, O Yah, abide with me. Part 1, Woman Riding on the Beast, Heads in Water, Shepherd Rod, Volume 2, by the V.T. Harder. We're going to do just a little review from our last study, dealing with the scarlet colored beast. It says, the color of the beast, scarlet, reveals that Elohim's people will have been called out by the message of the loud cry, and thus a separate and distinct from the world. Thus be separate and distinct from the world. Thus leaving the beast, scarlet skin separated, a sign of being under the condemnation, left without the excuse, ready to perish, full of the names of blasphemy. Now it says that woman sitting on those seven heads, which represents all the churches of Israel, all of the Protestant churches, as named by those seven churches with the seven names starting with Ephesus and ending with Laodicea, those seven ones, it says they're on their sure beast that this woman is riding. And it says over their heads is written blasphemy, meaning that it's the spiritual house of Israel, the Seventh-day Adventist Church, and the Davidians, collectively represented by those seven heads, which is the house of Israel, that have committed blasphemy by apostatizing. And the final apostasy was with the seven church Laodicea, and the rest is history. So their blasphemy, and it said their name, they're full of blasphemy, these seven heads, meaning the house of Israel, Seventh-day Adventist Church, is full of blasphemy. And the Davidians, denotes multiplicity of sects and hypocrisy. The balance of the chapter will be explained in another study. All right, now we're going to go into our part one of the woman riding on the beast, heads and waters, taken from Revelation 17. And there came one of the seven angels which had the seven vials and talked with me, saying, come unto me, come hither, I will show unto thee the judgment of the great whore that sitteth upon the many waters, Revelation 17:1. So the angel that was talking to John is one of the seven which had the seven vials of the seven last plagues. See Revelation 15:7, Revelation 16:1. It will be noticed that he had the vial of the plague ready, but it had not been poured out at the time he said unto John, come hither, I will show unto thee the judgment of the great whore. By the information given, it is certain that the event predicted by the symbol, the woman sitting on the beast, is shortly before the plagues are poured out and in the time when the woman is to be judged. So that would be in the 12th hour. That would be after the 144,000 come forth and sit upon thrones judging the people. Who is the woman riding on the beast? The reason John was shown the vision is made clear by the words of the angel, come hither, I will show unto thee the judgment of the great whore that sitteth upon many waters. For the angel's interpretation of the waters is given in the Revelation 17:15. Peoples and multitudes and nations and tongues. For the woman sitting on them denotes that the inhabitants' waters had fallen into her trap of the deception, sitting on them. And the woman was arrayed in the purple and scarlet color and decked with the gold and precious stones and pearls, having a golden cup in her hand full of the abomination and filthiness of her fornication, Revelation 17:4. For the woman is a symbol of the counterfeit religious system. From her cup, she hands out false doctrines. Being golden, it has an appearance of the splendor, inviting her costly garments of the loud colors and precious ornaments vividly portray the magnificence of this most vile woman and her kingly pomp, the vain glory. Okay, now it says that by the power of her attraction, so irresistible to the human eye, she has conquered men of the strongest intellect, with whom the kings of the earth have committed fornication. Millions with the strong mental faculties, men who appear as giants among the inhabitants of the earth, have fallen helpless victims in her trap. The kings of the earth are guilty of the spiritual adultery with the woman, drunk with the false doctrines, thereby becoming entangled in her seductive snares. Any so-called Christian organization handing out false doctrines with an appearance of the virtue, evidently, is governed by the power of the woman, for the origin of all such fallacious teaching can be traced back to the golden cup, said the angel. The seven heads are the seven mountains on which the woman sitteth. It has been previously explained that the heads are symbols of the so-called Christian denominations, and as she sits on them all, he denotes a union of churches under the one head, the woman. Okay, now, in 1963, we had members, ambassadors of all the Christian churches of the world, including the Adventists, sent an ambassador to the Vatican at the Ecumenical Council, and they made a union with the Vatican to teach one doctrine worldwide, and that was Jesus Christ, number one, is very God, and everything encompasses Him. And to make this the gospel theme, Adventists had their ambassador there as well. Now, these seven churches represents the seven churches of Asia. Revelation 2 and 3, starting with Ephesus, Smyrna, Pergamos, Thyatira, Sardis, Philadelphia, and Laodicea. Laodicea representing the Adventist church. So this woman then, Mystery Babylon, that's taking charge of these seven churches, has to be an organized religion. Okay. Now, the biblical number seven apprehends all such organizations. Okay. If all the churches at this present time were led by the Holy Spirit, there would be no confusion among the so-called Christian sects, as it would be impossible for all to be right while no two believe alike. It is warrantable to say that those who are drinking the wine from the cup of her fornication are not few. For the inspiration says, and the inhabitants of the earth have been made drunk with the wine of her fornication. Revelation 17:2, last part. Note that the woman sits on the waters, also on the heads, and on the beasts. You see Revelation 17:1, 3, and 9. As it would be impossible for one person to sit on all three objects at the one time, the prophetic symbols reveal a spiritual fraud in the three different periods. Thus John declares, I saw a woman sit upon a scarlet-colored beast, not upon the waters, nor upon the heads. Before he saw her, the angel said, the woman sitteth upon many waters. It was the angel also who added, for the seven heads are the seven mountains on which the woman sitteth. See Revelation 17:1 and 9. Thus John saw her last exploit only sit upon the beast. Consequently, the symbol sitting on the waters is her first act according unto the vision. Therefore, her first achievement, sitting on the waters, must have been in the past from the time that the prophetic symbol is revealed. Hence, the sitting on the heads becomes her second accomplishment, and the sitting on the beast is the last accomplishment, at which time she is judged. As the Protestant church is represented by the heads, she could not have sat on them before the Reformation, for they were not yet in the existence. As the heads upon which the woman sits are unharmed, it is evident that the prophetic symbol is to meet its fulfillment sometime after the deadly wound and the leopard-like beast of Revelation 13:3 is healed. Okay, it says, for the symbol sitting on the heads denotes union of the churches, for she sits on them. Therefore, when Catholicism, Protestantism, and spiritualism clasp each other's hand by the medium of a league, then it could be said the woman sitteth on the heads. Okay, I want to make a comment on just what I just read. Therefore, when Catholicism, Protestantism, and spiritualism clasp each other's hand by the medium of a league, then it could be said the woman sitteth on the heads. All right, now Catholicism, we know what that is. That's your Catholic Church persona. Your Protestantism, we think of the Sunday-keeping world, but not so. Your Protestantism is made up of those seven women, those seven heads, those seven mountains, those seven candlesticks. That's in Romans, Revelation chapter 1. That represents the house of Israel. Your candlesticks always denotes this is a sanctuary system, service that only Israel has and that are in charge of. So when we say Protestantism, we're talking about spiritual Israel coming out of the Dark Ages, starting in 1500 with Martin Luther, and ending up with Verlus W. Johnson restoring the feast days and restoring the complete sanctuary system. Okay, now that's what the protesting that Martin Luther started with in 1500 ended up with. Showing where these seven churches starting with Paul and Ephesus, come together in 2002 at Journey of Texas, being represented as Adventist Church in charge of the seven churches and their doctrines as the spiritual Israel of the day. So when Catholicism and the Seventh-day Adventism and the evangelical Pentecostal people, the speaking in tongues people, when they all three join up together, clasp each other's hands by the medium of a leg, then it can be said the woman sitteth on the heads. And so the woman sits on the, and the Catholic Church is one of those seven heads. And spiritualism, that spiritualism is one of those seven heads. Okay. And the Adventist is in charge of all seven of them, and she has notoriously joined up and with the Catholic Church through their connection, their spy connection, their spy agency connection, the Jesuits. And so there you have it. I'm going to read to you now in Revelation 16:13. Okay, in Revelation 16:13 it says, "And I saw three unclean spirits like frogs come out of the mouth of the dragon, and out of the mouth of the beast, and out of the mouth of the false prophet." Okay. Now this beast, so how you measure it, is the Catholic Church. And he came out of the mouth of the dragon. Now, I have something new for you here. Obama is the incarnate of Satan, Lucifer. He's his visible king here on earth, representing Satan, the invisible. We're going to learn something more about these here evil world leaders. We're going to learn as time goes on that they are actually ETs. And that Satan has cloned these characters. And there's a lot to be known about this. But anyway, the dragon is Satan, invisible, king of this world. At least he's claiming to be. Yeah, we know Yahshua is the king by virtue of his death on the cross. But we know that Satan has to have an opportunity to wrap this world up with his evilness to try to destroy everything, including the Christian. And his visible incarnate is Obama. So out of the mouth of the dragon, the visible incarnate is Satan, and out of the mouth of the beast. So now it says the mouth of the beast. And that beast has a mouthpiece, which is the Pope, which is a Jesuit Pope. They call him Pope Francis. Okay. And out of his mouth, and then it says out of the mouth of the false prophet. Now we may learn that this false prophet, may be the General Conference President of Seventh-day Adventists. You may learn this in time. We may all learn this in time. Because Balaam was a Hebrew. He was a true prophet. And Balak, the king of Moab, hired Balaam, a prophet in Israel, to bring a curse upon his own people. So the Adventists then look to their General Conference president as their spiritual number one leader, head. Those that have stayed with the Advent movement and have turned away from Ellen G. White's writings. So they would be following a false prophet to the Adventist church. So we may learn something here about this here, three unclean spirits. Okay. Let us continue on now with our study. It says that the symbol of the woman sitting on the beast will meet its fulfillment when that religious federation shall make an alliance with the powers of the world. Such an act would give the woman full control of the entire beast, horns and heads of the world. At that time, the following scripture will meet its perfect fulfillment. And he caused all, both small and great, rich and poor, free and bond, to receive a mark in their right hand or in their foreheads, and that no man might buy or sell, save he that had the mark or the name of the beast, Revelation 13:16-17. Thus the symbol of the woman sitting on the waters represents the period before the Reformation. This was true during the period of a papal supremacy, for at that time the papacy ruled the Roman world, peoples and multitudes and nations and tongues. Thus the woman sat on the waters during the 1260 prophetic years of the Daniel 7:25. But she is yet to sit on the heads and on the beast. But since this is volume 2 of the Shepherd Rod was written in 1932, we know that V.T. Hardiff is correct. She hasn't yet advanced to sitting on the seven heads yet, because that took place after 2002 in our day, here in the 12th parabolic hour. Had she sat on the nondescript beast instead of on the waters, it would have been wrongly symbolized. For the woman, by the tool of Catholicism, did not reign over all the world, the beast, but over many peoples and multitudes and nations and tongues, many waters. Therefore, the symbol sitting upon the scarlet-colored beast denotes an international religio-political system. Okay. How long has a woman been in the existence? Well, this question may be answered by the following scriptures. And I saw the woman drunk with the blood of the saints and with the blood of the martyrs of Yahshua. And when I saw her, I wondered with the great admiration. Revelation 17:6. This could truly be said of the Roman Church, for she persecuted the Christians and martyred them. Therefore, she is drunk with their blood. True, the Roman Church has had unlawful connection with a woman, and is drunk with the wine of her fornication. For the woman did not originate with the Roman Church, but rather she produced that church. Therefore, we must trace her existence beyond the beginning of the papacy, Revelation 18:24. Throws light upon the subject, and in her was found the blood of the prophets and of the saints and of all that were slain upon the earth. The holy word of Elohim declares that the woman is guilty of the blood of the martyrs in all ages. Therefore, the woman is drunk with the blood of the Abel, and thus the blood of all the martyrs is found in her, proving that Cain was her first client by presenting a counterfeit sacrifice, false doctrine, and by the slaying of his brother. There are many so-called Christians who, like Cain, say, it makes no difference, one thing is as good as another. But Elohim accepts no substitute and no man's religion. That which wisdom has devised is a man's righteousness and not the righteousness of Yahshua. Therefore, it is an abomination in the Elohim sight for the human fiber and obedience unto the divine requirement being weakened and the sinful inclination strengthened from the generation and nature of the man. I cannot be better at this present time than when the disciples asked Yahshua, "Knowest thou that the Pharisees were offended after they heard this saying, so-called Christians like the Pharisees become offended when told of their errors and rebuked for their sin. But he answered and said, every plant which my heavenly Father hath not planted shall be rooted up. Let them alone. They be blind leaders of the blind. Okay. So now, when the Adventist Church came to her final close, with the seventh angel of the seventh candlestick of a letter she had been spewed out of his mouth, that designated openly that you had a blind leader leading the blind flock. Okay? And if the blind lead the blind, both shall fall into the ditch, Matthew 15:12-14. Okay, and upon her forehead was a name written, Mystery Babylon the Great, the Mother of Harlots and Abomination of the Earth, Revelation 17:5. The woman riding on the beast is the mother, For the seven heads on the beast are the symbols of her daughters, harlots. So, the Adventist Church now is designated as an harlot. Okay. And since the Adventist Church encompasses the three feeding pastures, then Gilead Center was a harlot. 11th hour Adventist, 9th 11th hour, was a harlot church. And the shepherd rod under Ben Roden and his leadership for 15 years. Well, actually, there was a double leadership there after D.T. Hollis died. His wife took over for at least 5 years, and then Ben Roden succeeded her. So you had a double leadership there, but they were harlots. They were blind leading the blind. Catholicism is her first daughter in this symbol. Okay, so now Catholicism is the first daughter of this Babylon, sprang from Catholicism. No, is the first daughter in this symbol, and as Protestantism sprang from Catholicism, then apostate Protestantism is the multiplicity of sex are her daughters also. There you have it. The Lutheran Church sprang from there, from Catholicism. It's that protest church, Martin Luther, 1500. Martin Luther is in good shape. He's okay. He has eternal life. And all of his followers, or most all of them, but the time came and the Lutheran Church rejected the next message that came to her, that she came to her end as far as having any effectiveness upon the public with her doctrine that she started out with, righteousness by faith. After Presbyterian Church came on the scene with the second doctrine, the Holy Spirit, then that's where the people's attention were drawn to, or the remnant at least. Those that fallen present truth as it unfolded, they went right on into the second step with the Presbyterian. And so, but the Presbyterian did just like the Lutherans did. When it come time for them to advance with a new doctrine, to step into a new movement, a protest movement with the Methodists in 1725, they refused. So they are classified as a daughter of Catholicism, I mean, of Babylon. So, and then the next church, Alexander Campbell, the Baptist, a Christian church in 1810, had the doctrine of baptism by the immersion. And when Alexander Campbell and the Baptist members would refuse to advance with the Millerite movement in 1833, then they were also designated as a daughter of Babylon. Okay, and then when the Millerite movement refused to advance with the Adventists in 1844, another daughter of Babylon. And when, at last and not least, when the Adventist Church refused to advance with the Eighth Movement, the Eighth Step, with the House of David, the Everlasting Kingdom of Heaven, in the 12th hour, and they refused to advance out of the 11th hour into the 12th, then they're also classified as daughters of Babylon. Okay, so how many daughters of Babylon emerged from the Adventist Church? You had three of them. You had three daughters of Babylon. You had three feeding pastures. Okay, there's at least one daughter in each feeding pasture, Bashan, Carmel, and Gilead, that lives in the Adventist church. Okay, so you had three daughters emerged right there. Okay, so let's continue. Or it may be said that woman is the mother of Catholicism. Okay, Mystery Babylon is the mother of Catholicism, and Catholicism is the mother of Protestantism. So Catholicism is the mother of the Seventh-day Adventist Church, because she was the seventh Protestant church that emerged, that the Catholics took over. Okay, says the Revelator, I saw a woman sit upon a scarlet-colored beast full of the names of blasphemy. Okay, Revelation 17:3. Thus the number of the heads and full of the names include all the offshoots from the Protestantism and Catholicism. Had there been no mention being made of the being full of the names, more than of the seven, and scarlet, which denotes that Elohim's people have been called out of it, therefore a scarlet skimmed under curse, ready to perish, the biblical number seven heads could have included those who are carrying Elohim's message, as in the period of the leopard-like beast of Revelation 13:1. At the time his deadly wound was healed, therefore it would have made no allowance for the church which keep the commandments of Elohim and have the faith of the Yeshua. And the only church that does this is the Mount Zion at the 12th hour, in the 12th hour. And you would have to conclude then, when 144,000 comes forth and joins this here mountain of the house of Yahweh, Isaiah 2 and Micah 4, that's established in the top of the seven mountains, all your Protestant Reformed churches that were daughters of Catholicism, and the mother, the Catholic Church, took them all seven back over when she gave birth to them. Now keep in mind that the Catholic Church gave birth to those six Protestant churches, starting with Luther, the Lutheran, the Presbyterian, the Methodist, the Baptist, the Millerite movement, the Seventh-day Adventist. The Catholic Church gave birth to those six protest churches. Now, the seventh one, the seventh protest church is the House of David. And that's the one we represent today during the 12th hour. Okay. So it says, therefore it would have been no allowance for the church, which keep the commandments of Elohim and the faith of Yahshua, and thus it would have contradicted the following scripture. And the dragon was wroth with the woman, which the dragon is Satan, Elohim's church, and went to make war with the remnant of her seed. Now, today, Israel, the true, the 144,000, which keep the commandments of Elohim and have the testimony of Yahshua Messiah, Revelation 12:17. Now, folks, we got some new light breaking here for Obama represents this here dragon that is wroth with the woman. Period. He's wroth with this purified woman. Just like the dragon was wroth with the purified woman at the cross. Okay. So now he's wroth with the woman. He's so wroth that his whole concern and all of his actions are directed toward one thing. That's to destroy and taking over the governments of the world, suspending the constitution of this government, having full reign to do whatever he wants to do without any restriction, anything against him. And he has that full course reign because he has one thing in mind. He's Satan incarnate. He could very well be an E.T. And you were going to learn that all these evil leaders of our government are no doubt ETs. They are cloned by Satan. We're going to find this out in time. I started getting my information yesterday on this information about ETs. And I had a very good experience by watching a certain video on the internet. And the Holy Spirit impressing me that it's already been proven about these leaders that we have today, that they're shapeshifters, and they've already proved that Hillary Clinton is a shapeshifter, and several other of the Bushes, the George Bush seniors and junior, shapeshifters. These are ETs, folks. And this man that I listen to, he's a retired airline pilot. And he was very much involved in flying missions all over the world. He's flown 585 missions all over the world. Now this man I'm talking about has flown 585 missions in the wars, Vietnam, Korea, or whatever. And he's had experience with flying saucers. He's had experience with the government and their building projects and their secret bases, especially that Area 51 in Nevada. He's been all there. He's been in connection with all the main people involved, and he knows all about that stuff. He knows about ETs. He knows that there's a 7 billion population of the earth today. He says 1 billion of those are ETs. They're people just like you and me. They look just like you and me. They're our leaders. And he said they live among us. They work among us. And you don't know them from just any other ordinary people. But these people are ETs. He said there's at least 1 billion of them. Out of the 7 billion population of mankind, you have 1 billion ETs. And he talked about the moon. He said, impossible for the earth's inhabitants to go to the moon. So that's totally impossible. Or he said, 5,000 miles out, you have radiation that you cannot get through with our vehicles. Now, if you have flying saucers, yeah. But you can't get through them with the vehicles that we use to fly with fossil fuels. You have to have vehicles that are electromagnetically commanded with different materials. And our government makes those flying saucers. And he says that 25,000 miles out is another radiation shield that you cannot pass through, making it impossible to go to the moon. And he said, but they have flown 5 missions around the moon with satellites type of things, like flying saucer type of stuff. And they've taken pictures of the moon. And he said, I believe he said his colleagues have seen these pictures, but he hasn't seen them. You go and request the observatories that has these pictures, and they tell you that they're not allowed to show these moon pictures to you. They're under quarantine. He said, because you'll find out that the moon has got plenty of oxygen on it, and that they have pictures taken from these satellites that went around the moon. 5 different trips they've made, showing where they got one crane there that's 300 foot tall, where they got a big excavating bucket, and they got just rows and rows of buildings. And you just see people all over the place are working up there. And he said, it's inhabited. He said, Mars is inhabited. They've got plenty of pictures taken of Mars inhabited with people. And he said, all your planets that they've gone to, Jupiter, is all inhabited with people. Well, the Bible backs that up in Genesis chapter 37. 11 sons, or the 11 brothers of Joseph, the 12 sons of Jacob. They're represented by the 12 planets in our solar system. Okay. Anyway, we're going to find out a whole lot of things that all of our political leaders, all of our around the world, all these evil governments, they're all ETs. They're all ETs. And that's the reason why they're doing what they're doing. And after one thing, and that is to penetrate this barrier, and this woman we're reading about right now, this is where we're at, she's going to make war. Those 10 horns on that beast that represents all these evil governments of the world have lined up with this beast, this harlot woman, to make war against the Lamb. So all these ET leaders of all these wicked governments, they're the ones that's going to make war with the Lamb. A regular human being that was born in a Christian family, first place, he wouldn't make it to be a leader of a nation anyway. Only evil people that was born in an evil environment can make it to the leadership in this world. Anyway, let's let us go on. It says, thus the symbol of the woman sitting on the waters represents the period. Okay. Thus the woman sat on the waters during the 1260 prophetic years of Daniel 7:25. But she is yet to sit on the heads and on the beast. Had she sat on the nondescript beast instead of on the waters, it would have been wrongly symbolized, for the woman by the tool of the Catholicism did not reign over all the world beasts, but over many peoples and multitudes and nations and tongues, many waters. Therefore, the symbol sitting upon the scarlet-colored beast denotes an international religio-political system. How long has the woman been in the existence? This question may be answered by the following scriptures. And I saw the woman drunk with the blood of the saints and with the blood of the martyrs of the Yahshua. And when I saw her, I wondered with the great admiration. Revelation 17:6. This could truly be said of the Roman Church, for she persecuted the Christians and martyred them. Okay. Therefore she is drunk with their blood. True, the Roman Church has had unlawful connection with the woman, was and is drunk with the wine of her fornication. The woman did not originate with the Roman Church, but rather she produced that church. Therefore we must trace her existence beyond the beginning of the papacy, Revelation 18:24. Throws light upon the subject, and in her was found the blood of the prophets and of the saints and of all that were slain upon the earth. The holy word of the Elohim declares that the woman is guilty of the blood of the martyrs in all ages. Therefore the woman is drunk with the blood of the Abel, and thus the blood of all the martyrs is found in her, proving that Cain was her first client by presenting a counterfeit sacrifice, false doctrine, and by slaying his brother. Okay. There are many so-called Christians who, like Cain, say, it makes no difference. One thing is as good as another. But Elohim accepts no substitute and no man's religion. That which the human wisdom has devised is the man's righteousness and not the righteousness of the Yahshua. Therefore, it is an abomination in the Elohim's sight, the human fiber of the obedience unto the divine requirements being weakened and the sinful inclination strengthened from generation to generation. For the nature of the man cannot be better at this present time than when the disciples asked Yahshua, knowest thou that the Pharisees were offended after they heard this saying? So-called Christians like the Pharisees become offended when told of their errors and rebuked for their sin. But he answered and said, every plant which my heavenly Father has not planted shall be rooted up. Let them alone. They be blind leaders of the blind. And if the blind lead the blind, both shall fall into the ditch. Matthew 15:12-14. And upon her forehead was a name written, Mystery, Babylon the Great, the Mother of Harlots, and the Abominations of the Earth. Revelation 17:5. For the woman riding on the beast is the mother of the seven heads. On the beast are the symbols of her daughter's heartless. Catholicism is her first daughter in this symbol, and as Protestantism springs from Catholicism, then apostate Protestantism is a multiplicity of the sex of her daughters also. Or it may be said that woman is the mother of Catholicism and Catholicism the mother of the Protestantism. Says the Revelator, I saw a woman set upon a scarlet colored beast full of the names of blasphemy, Revelation 17:3. Thus the number of the heads and full of the names include all the offshoots from the Protestantism and Catholicism. Had there been no mention made of being full of the names more than seven, and scarlet, which denotes that Elohim people have been called out of it. Therefore, scarlet skimmed under curse, ready to perish, the number seven, the biblical number seven would have included those who are carrying Elohim's message, as in the period of the leopard-like beast, Revelation 13:1. At the time his deadly wound was healed. Therefore, it would have made no allowance for the church to keep the commandments of Elohim and the faith of Yahshua, and thus it would have contradicted the following scripture, and the dragon was wroth with the woman, Elohim's church, and went to make war with the remnant of her seed. Now, I know I've read this already. It looked like I reread it again, but it is worth going over, I guess, a second time, even though I didn't do it intentionally. But I'm seeing more clearly that this mystery Babylon is the mother of Catholicism and apostate Protestantism. These are all her daughters. And Adventist represents apostate Protestantism persona, Adventism. So she's definitely a daughter of Babylon. And Adventists will make a big fuss when people come into her ranks and remind her that she is retreated back into Babylon, that she is Babylon. And she'll say, "Boy, Sister White says, when somebody comes saying that we are Babylon, you're not to believe them. They're false prophets. Don't listen to them." And so, I know I've had the evidence pull that on me. So it says, so they are the, he makes forth the remnant of her seed, the true, the 144,000, which keep the commandments of Elohim and have the testimony of Yahshua Messiah, Revelation 12:17. Elohim has never had more than one movement in the existence at a time, and it would not be otherwise now, for Yahshua cannot be divided. See 1 Corinthians 1:13. Elohim's church is well marked in every generation by the obedience unto present truth. For the fact itself proves the claim, true as there is only one church in the period of the beast, which has the spirit of the prophecy and all the commandments as written by the finger of the Elohim, said the Yahshua. Whosoever therefore shall break one of these least commandments and shall teach men so, he shall be called the least in the kingdom of the heaven. But whosoever shall do and teach them, the same shall be called great in the kingdom of the heaven. Matthew 5:19. It is this divine principle that shall divide the world into two classes, the commandments of Elohim and the traditions of men. And before him shall be gathered all nations, and he shall separate them one from another as a shepherd divides his sheep from the goats, and he shall set the sheep on his right hand, but the goats on the left, Matthew 25:32-33. Okay, so what did we learn? We learned that this woman, no doubt, is Satan himself. Okay. And so we have Satan claiming to be the representative of the true church here on earth. All those that chose to follow him from the Garden of Eden on. And so, this mystery Babylon, the mystery is that Satan is controlling this beast. He's controlling this beast. And this beast, to how you measure it, represents the Catholic Church. and her daughters. So this woman has a mouthpiece, and that mouthpiece is Obama. Okay. So that what the mouthpiece for this woman is for is to give command for all nations. When it's time to make a change and do this or that, then this here Satan gives a command to his number one leader, and that would be Obama, and he says no matter what the world's consensus or opinion is about any of this stuff, this is the next thing you have to do on your agenda. You have to do this, as I give it to you. So you have a vice president to Obama called Joe Biden, and he's a member of the Knights of Columbus. He's a member of the Jesuit order, and he's Obama's alter ego. He's the one that gives Obama his daily instructions. And Joe Biden gets his daily instructions from the Vatican now, because we have a Jesuit Pope. Before we had this Pope Francis, we had just a regular Pope, which wasn't a Jesuit. So Joe Biden was getting his orders from the Black Pope, the invisible Pope that lives in the Netherlands up north. North of the Vatican. He have two popes. You have the visible pope and you have the invisible pope. You have two Satans of this world. You have the invisible Satan and you have the visible Satan. Obama is the visible Satan. He's an ET. And you have a visible king of the everlasting kingdom of heaven, which is the antithetical Elijah today. You have an invisible king, which is Yahshua. Okay, it's always been a visible and an invisible. When this government started off in 1797 with the Constitutional Convention of our forefathers, and they were getting together and constructing the Constitution, you had two governments represented there. You had the shadow government that was made up of the Illuminati, the Masons, and the Jesuits. All three of those are joined together. And the Illuminati is represented by the communism. You had the Jesuits, and you had the Masons. All three of those joined league in 1782. It took them about 5 years to get together to form the shadow government to set up the Constitutional Convention. They were the power behind the Declaration of Independence and the power and the Constitution being drawn up. The invisible government was made up of George Washington and his cabinet. They were the visible elected officials. But your invisible government was the Illuminati, the Jesuits, and the Masons that had formed a league together. Okay, so now you've always have the invisible leader and the visible leader. It's no different today. Satan is your invisible leader for this mystery Babylon. Obama is the visible leader for mystery Babylon. He's the one that literally barks out the orders, and everybody falls in line and does it whether they like it or not, whether they agree with it or not. And most of his people that are carrying out his orders, matter of fact, all of his people that are carrying out Obama's orders are ETs. They're clones of Satan. Satan's people are running the world. I know this is hard to swallow, but I wasn't going to spring this soon. But the Holy Spirit led me to get to understand on this just as of yesterday. And He impressed me this way it is. That's why we have no problem then with Obama suspending our Constitution. What the deal is, Obama's not the first one to suspend our Constitution. Abraham Lincoln, Civil War, 1861, suspended our Constitution and put in martial law. He instituted and set up martial law. And he did that by organizing a visible army. He organized a visible, literal army of soldiers and so forth. And he's the one that orchestrated and set up that Civil War. And so they had to have soldiers for the first time. They organized armies. And that's when the armies carried out the agenda of the president. He had a Congress. And the reason I know that Abraham Lincoln was our first communist president is because when he declared war on the South, he sent Congress home for recess. They were in recess. And he invoked executive order and martial law and declared war on the South with no vote of Congress at all. Because there wasn't a quorum there at the Capitol to even vote on it. And besides, Congress didn't even know that Abraham Lincoln was going to do that. So, Abraham Lincoln operated in secrecy just like Obama operates today. That's another story about Abraham Lincoln. He was an E.T. as well. He's one of them E.T.s. So, Abraham Lincoln had a Bible that wasn't a King James Bible, but some friend of his gave it to him about 1840. And that's what he was sworn in as president on, was that Bible. And it just so happened that Obama, he requested Abraham Lincoln's Bible to be sworn in as president. Said he admired Abraham Lincoln, and actually he would, because he's a clone, just like Abraham Lincoln was. He's an E.T. And he's duplicating and repeating exactly what Abraham Lincoln did, Obama is. And so that's no secret anymore. Well, actually, we're getting close to the end of our study this hour. You can contact us at the 11th hour call. And that's number 11. Click on our audio archive. We're going to close this service now with a song. Whiter than snow. Yahshua, I want to be perfectly whole. I want thee forever to ransom my soul. Break down every idol, cast out every foe. Now wash me and I shall be whiter than snow. Whiter than snow, yes, whiter than snow. Now wash me and I shall be whiter than snow. Yahshua, for this a most humbly entreat. Now wait, blessed Yah, at the crucified feet. The faith for my cleansing, I see thy blood flow. Now wash me and I shall be whiter than snow. Whiter than snow, yes, whiter than snow. Now wash me and I shall be whiter than snow. Yahshua, thou knowest I patiently wait. Come now and within me a new heart create. To those who have sought thee, thou never saidst no. Now wash me and I shall be whiter than snow. Whiter than snow, yes, whiter than snow. Now wash me and I shall be whiter than snow.